in a deep breath and then letting it out. That's the other reason I'm here. You see, Quinn, I don't know where she is, and even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. If she wanted you guys to know where she went and what she was doing, she'd have left a note. Okay, that's fine. I accept that. All we need to know is if she's all right. That's it. Was she stressed out? Marcella thinks about this for a moment and then says, yes, I'd call her stressed out. Do you think she was afraid? More thoughtful consideration from Marcella. I don't know if I'd call it afraid, but she was crying when we talked that afternoon. Do you know why? Marcella shakes her head no. No idea at all? I mean, come on, Marcella, we love her, okay? Not equally and not all in the same way, but we love her. We need to know if she needs our help. She did not confide in me, Mr. Brickman. Brick, I say. Just call me Brick. Marcella sighs. I don't have the answer you need. I promise I'd tell you if I thought she was in trouble and needed help. I think she has something going on, for sure, but I got the feeling she was handling it. I nod my head and take a seat on one of the bar stools. And you? You came upstairs. I don't want to talk about it. It was obviously a mistake. Maybe, I say. Maybe not. Your friend is weird, Brick. I'm not getting involved with him. Then why did you let Quinn fuck you? She blows out a long breath of air. I'm not trying to be mean, Marcella. I'm trying to understand, and I'm trying to figure out if you're interested. Interested? She laughs. In that sex game you were playing with Rochelle? If you knew about it, and you clearly did, and you didn't want to partake, again, you clearly did, then why let Quinn fuck you? Marcella leans her hip into the granite counter next to the stove and folds her arms across her chest. What do you want me to say? I was horny? It sounded dirty and I wanted to get in on it? That would be a good start. She grunts in denial. We're interested, Marcella. That's why I'm here. We are interested. You need a replacement before the weekend? I have never seen Rochelle on the weekends. I have Wednesdays and Thursdays. Oh. She laughs. My mistake. You need a fuck buddy before tomorrow. Can you just be serious for a minute? Sure, she says. Sure. Let's be serious about what you're offering me. You and your friends want to own me, share me, fuck me senseless, any way you want. Let's get serious about this. You don't have to be condescending, I shrug. Some people like the dark side of sex, and let's get real as long as we're getting serious. You like the dark side, Marcella. I get up and walk around the island so I'm standing in front of her. You like the forbidden world we live in, because if you didn't, you'd never have agreed to whatever plan Rochelle sold you. So why don't you just shut the fuck up with your holy self-righteous attitude and listen to my offer? You have some nerve coming here. I grab her face with one hand, my thumb pressing into her jaw and my forefinger wrapping under her chin. Shut the fuck up. She breathes hard and heavy, but she doesn't do anything but obey. That's better, I say, letting go of her face. I'm going to pick you up on Friday and we're going on a date. I'm working Friday, she says. Her voice is smaller now. Slightly, not all the way, but slightly submissive. I know. I'm trying my best to be patient with her. The gallery. We know Matisse. We're all going to that opening, so I'm going to pick you up at 5:30 and you and I are going to go together. You and I? She asks. Quinn and Smith will be there, but you are my date. Understand? She says nothing, so I wait her out. When the seconds continue to tick off with no answer from her, I explain it another way. It's a job interview, Marcella. A job? She pulls away from me, her upper body leaning back against the granite countertop. A job with lots of benefits. Like the sex? She asks. I can't tell if that's a snide comment or one filled with longing. It comes off as something in between, and I decide Smith was right. She wants in. She wants this. She likes the dark. She just needs to tell herself she doesn't. That's why she's fighting. We can have a proper discussion after the show. We'll have drinks at the club and discuss the details. I wait for her answer. And after a few moments of thinking, she says, "And then you'll all fuck me together?" That was not the answer I expected. "No," I say. But I think I catch a little disappointment in her expression. So I add, "Not unless we all agree, and I'm not sure Quinn will agree to that." I reach under her short skirt and slip my hand between her legs, pulling her panties aside. She closes her eyes when I do this. A soft moan. One finger presses inside her. She is so fucking wet, just like Smith said. My other hand uncrosses her arms, and she lets them fall helplessly to her side. I lean into her, kiss her mouth. She kisses me back as I finger her pussy. "Don't fight it," I say. "We can give you what you need, Marcella." I play with her clit, flicking my finger back and forth. I'd fuck you right now if I could. Her eyes open and stare at me. "Why can't you?" Her voice is deep and throaty. Oh yeah, this girl is a dirty slut. She'd let me do anything I want right now. "Because if I fuck you first without the other guys involved, then you'd be mine and not ours. And I'm more interested in ours than mine." I pull my fingers out of her pussy. They are slick with her juices. And when I bring them up to her lips, she opens her mouth and sucks them like she'll eventually be sucking my cock. 5:30, Marcella. Wear something spectacular. And no panties. I want to finger you again at that gallery. In front of your boss. I pull my wet fingers out of her mouth and wipe them on her cheek. Kiss her softly on the lips. I leave her like that. All hot and wet. All ready for more. She will come to understand what this offer is, and even if it's not her brand of forbidden, she will stay. At least for a while. I know addiction to the dark when I see it. And she's a junkie.
Chapter 9. Cella. Even with the distraction of the last-minute preparation of the Matisse installation on Thursday, I've spent the last 3 days sick to my stomach about what might happen tonight. Brick was blunt, and it was unexpected. Maybe I've come to expect that from Smith, if you can form expectations based on just a handful of encounters. But I always saw Brick as the sensible one, the practical one, the one she went to talk to when she had problems. That was Rochelle's description of him. He was everything but those two things at my house on Tuesday. The way he checked me for my arousal, just like Smith. The way he caught me off guard. His cold commands and heated stares. His kiss. God, his kiss. I know this is the wrong choice, even as I dress for him. Wear something spectacular. I hold the collar in my hand, the gold one that Smith clamped onto my neck on Sunday night, and I know this, too, is wrong. "Put it away," I want to scream to myself. "Don't do this, Marcella. Don't give in to their promises. Don't wait for him to pick you up. Just get in your car and drive yourself to the opening. Then ignore them. Forget about Rochelle. Forget about Quinn and the way he fucked you. Forget about Smith and the way he claimed you. Forget about Brick and the way he dominated you. Just don't do it. There is no chance in hell I'll do any of those things, and I prove it to my doubting inner self by bringing the collar up to my neck and fastening the clasp. It's tight, and when I swallow hard and make my throat expand just ever so slightly, it reminds me what it is. A choker. I do not have underwear on, just like Brick requested, and I can already feel the slickness pooling between my legs. When the doorbell rings, I shut off the bedroom light and walk slowly down the stairs. My black dress is long, but there is a slit up the side of each of my thighs. A thin, black satin wrap drapes casually around my bare shoulders. But I stop before opening the front door and put on my winter coat. Brick is scowling at me through the window for making him wait. I smile as I open the door. "You look nice," I say, and he does. His tuxedo is perfect, obviously tailored to his exact body specifications.
As do you, Miss Walcott. You should have let me in so I could help you with your coat.
I say. I'll consider that, if there's a next time. That makes him cock an eyebrow at me.
No games tonight, Chella.
Chella. He says it so casually, like he's been calling me that name my whole life. Like he gave it to me. Like he owns that name.
We're past it.
I'm not sure we are, I say, grabbing my evening bag and letting him guide me out the front door. Once on the porch, I stop to lock up, and then I place my hand on his arm and let him take me down the dozen or so steps to the waiting car. He opens the back door. I slide across the soft leather seat, and then he gets in next to me. Once we're settled, the driver proceeds.
Matisse is excited.
Oh, good, I say, and I mean it. I really hope the show does well.
How could it not?
Brick asks. I let out a small laugh. Well, it's art. Not everyone is in the market for such things.
Will you be expected to stay late and help with closing?
Brick asks, ignoring my remark. No, we have staff for that. Show openings are a night out for me.
Good. Then we'll stay an acceptable amount of time and reconvene at Turning Point.
He hesitates, then adds,
Quinn isn't coming.
To the meeting? I ask.
To the show. I think he'll show for the meeting.
I hold my breath for a few moments, thinking about this meeting, marveling at how easy I have accepted it as normal. It's not normal, Chella. Shut up, I tell the inner monologue. I don't care. And I don't. I have thought of nothing else but what will happen tonight. At the show, sure. Since Brick promised to stick his fingers inside my pussy while we're there. But mostly afterward, when I have all three of them sitting around a table so we can discuss sex. With me. With them. Rochelle didn't go into detail about her relationships. She just said that they were each unique and I'd have to get used to them. I'd have to get used to letting them be themselves while I pretend to be what they want.
Are you cold? Brick asks. I can turn up the heat.
He's asking because my whole body is shaking with the anticipation. Yes, I say, as cover for my fear and anxiety and excitement. I don't live very far from the gallery, so it only takes a few minutes to get to the corner where we must be dropped off. We wait for the driver to do his job this time, and when the door opens, Brick steps out, grabs my hands, and gently pulls me up and out of the car. There's a crowd of people milling around outside. We sold tickets for this exhibition, so there is also a line. I'm about to walk us forward and present myself to the staff manning the door, but Brick takes over. He smiles at them as we approach. I don't know them. We contract out for shows like this. But they know Brick. They must, because they open the velvet rope and let us pass. Inside, the exhibition is spectacular. I have seen the pieces, of course, but tonight we have dramatic lighting to highlight each piece, and Matisse has set it up like a journey through a backstage. You meet the ushers standing sentry right at the door, walk down a makeshift aisle, lit up by lights on the floor to mimic a theater, and then pass through a curtain where the rest of the exhibition awaits. Matisse is there with Smith, and they both stop to look at Brick and me as we approach. Smith is wearing a tuxedo that matches Brick's. Matisse is wearing white. Typical artist. It's fantastic, I tell Matisse, leaning in to give him pretentious air kisses. Congratulations. This is wonderful.
You look lovely, Chella.
Chella. Again. All week he's been calling me Marcella. But tonight everything changes, doesn't it? My position has switched from gallery manager to Brick's date, and it makes a difference. Matisse and I had a few awkward moments on Thursday when I came back to work, but generally we both pretended nothing happened at the Turning Point Club on Monday night. Or maybe Brick told him about the arrangement, and so he didn't feel awkwardness was necessary. Either way, it did the trick for me. I feel nothing but admiration for the artist right now. Chella, Smith says, would you like to take me through the exhibit? I look at Brick. Why did I just do that? And it makes him smile that I asked for permission, even if it was just a look.
Go ahead, he says. Have fun. I'll be right here when you're done.
And if I wasn't going to enter into a shared relationship with these two men, it might be normal. But I am, so it's not. Have fun. What does that mean?
Are you afraid of me?
Smith asks as he leads me away. No, I laugh.
Good. I'm not the one you should be afraid of. You'll come to realize that soon enough.
What's that supposed to mean? Is he trying to scare me away?
You'll see,
Smith says, taking my hand and leading me toward the next sculpture.
I'm sure Brick promised you something fun here tonight. He likes it like that. He likes parties and big groups.
And you? I ask, concentrating on the ballerina on the floor, tying up her toe shoes.
I like it a different way. You'll realize that soon enough as well.
Is that what the basement of the club is for? I ask, chancing a look up at him. Smith smiles.
You'll never know.
Why not?
Did Rochelle tell you what we do down there?
No.
Because if she did, she lied. She has no idea what we do down there.
I don't think it's that hard to imagine. But I stopped talking. Jesus Christ, get a hold of yourself, Chella.
You've what? Smith asks. Been there?
No. I laugh again. I've heard things.
From who?
Just rumors. People talk. Smith's arm is around me. He pulls me close to his chest, leans into my mouth, and kisses me on the lips.
Not our people, Chella, he whispers. No one talks who knows. Just keep that in mind.
Did he just threaten me? But his kiss is back, a soft flutter on my lips.
You're mine too, if Quinn agrees. And I'd just like to warn you, I'm not good at sharing.
What? I pull away, smiling. You're joking, right? He shakes his head, very slowly.
Not even a little bit, Marcella Walcott. Not even close.
People come up behind us, and so Smith backs away, and we continue on to the next sculpture. It's darker here, and we are totally concealed in shadow. Only a single spotlight illuminates the next dancer, a woman at the bar, her legs stretched up high, arm in a graceful arc over her head as she warms up. Why does Quinn get to make all the decisions?
He doesn't make all of them. We make them together. But he's holding out, so he needs to agree or it won't happen, no matter how much Brick wants you.
You don't want me? I ask. I look up at him, but I can't see his face. It's too dark where we're standing.
I don't care either way, he says. But Brick wants it now. Something you did or said on Tuesday affected him, made him desire you. I'm sure Quinn will give in, if only to make Brick happy. But you'd better make things right with Quinn or it won't last.
The last part really does come out like a threat. How do I go about doing that? I feel Smith shrug, and then we walk forward again until we're in more light and I can see him.
He's not a hard guy to understand, so I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Are your ambivalent feelings for me the same ones you harbor for Rochelle?
Maybe,
Smith says, his hand finding the little dent of my waist. He places his palm flat, and it sends a tingle through my body.
But don't worry, Chella. It took me 2.5 years to grow tired of Rochelle. I don't think you'll last that long, so you'll never know.
I laugh, not loud, but enough to let him know what's coming. You're an asshole.
You haven't seen anything yet, whore.
I am stunned silent, but only for a moment. Is that what gets you off? Degradation?
Sometimes, but no, not really.
You just like to call me a whore. He smiles at me in the dim light.
Once you sign that contract, Marcella, that is what you'll be.
He lets me take that all in, and then he pivots the conversation and says,
I've seen enough.
And said enough, I say. He chuckles.
God, it's so cute the way you underestimate me.
I let him lead me through the rest of the exhibit. We don't bother to stop, but it's a circular path that takes us back to Matisse and Brick, who are surrounded by people holding long fluted champagne glasses and eating tiny finger food as they chat.
You better think it over, Chella, Smith says in a hushed whisper as we approach them. Because once you're in, you never get out.
I stop walking and look up at him. Rochelle got out?
Did she?
Smith asks, wry grin on his handsome face. Why are all the assholes so handsome?
Do you really think she can just flip her upside-down life right side up again and there won't be consequences?
He's totally serious, and my heart begins to pound with the implications of his words.
She can walk away. They all walk away eventually, Chella. But they can't escape.
You'll see, he says. You'll see what I mean. We cross the final few steps and become one of the crowd.
I've decided to return your date, Brick, Smith says, taking my hand, which he's been holding the entire time,
and placing it on Brick's arm.
I'm leaving. Nice to see you again, Matisse, Smith says over his shoulder as he makes for the front door.
When Smith Baldwin commands attention, he gets it. I'll give him that. Because everyone in the substantial crowd of people surrounding Matisse stops what they are doing to hear him speak. Smith never looks back. There is only a second or two of silent awe. The chatter begins again. I have to control myself so I don't roll my eyes.
Now you get to walk through with me, Brick says, smiling down at me. If you'll excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, my date is anxious to show me what's in the dark.
When we're safely inside the exhibit again, hidden in the shadows, Brick says,
Don't take him seriously.
I don't have to ask who he's talking about. Why is he like that?
He's an unhappy person, Chella. Very few things bring out the human in him these days. But don't worry, you'll be one of those things.
I don't think so, I say. I think he's playing with me, like I'm just another piece on the game board.
His whole life is a game. And this,
Brick says, indicating us.
We're a game, too. But it's a fun game. It's fun if you play with the right people. And both Smith and I think you're right for it.
And Quinn? I ask.
He needs some time to adjust.
He liked Rochelle a lot? I ask.
More than he should, probably. I liked her, too. What they had was not special. What I had with her was not special.
And what you'll have with me won't be special either?
You're missing the point, Chella.
He pushes me into a corner, away from the people and the exhibits. It's a small hallway that leads to a utility room door. His hands are on my legs, fingers pulling on the slits of my dress, exposing the skin of my thighs. He palms my ass cheek and whispers,
Good girl.
When he realizes I'm not wearing underwear, I place both hands on his chest to push him back, but he doesn't yield.
It's not special, Marcella. Not with me or Smith or Quinn. Not alone. Alone, it's nothing but fucking and filthy sick desires. But what we have together is totally different. Shared ownership of anything implies partnership. Working together, finding common ground, and making decisions that are best for the group, not the individual. What you want doesn't matter. What I want doesn't matter. What Smith and Quinn want doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is us. And once you figure out what us is, you'll know what it's really like to live. I promise you. You'll know and you'll never go back to singular relationships. They'll feel hollow and simple. You will be addicted to us, and we'll be addicted to you. It's a disease, Chella, and you're sick as fuck, just like us.
I look up at him, then over his shoulder where my boss and Matisse are standing in front of a sculpture, talking. Their voices are loud and boisterous, and they carry into the small hallway. And that's when Brick slips his fingers between my legs and finds what he needs. My permission.
I'd like to fuck you right now, but all I can do right now is tease, Chella. Don't let the details scare you away.
You are here because you understand the big picture. I'm not so sure about that, but I don't say anything, because the way he's stroking my pussy feels too good to care.
Come on my fingers, Chella. We're not leaving this hallway until you do. And if anyone sees us, comes near us, I won't stop. So you better do it fast, you fucking whore. You better clench down and show me it's real, too. If you fake it, I'll know. I'll take you outside, bend you over a bench on the 16th Street Mall, lift your dress up so everyone can see your bare ass, and spank the shit out of you until you cry, until you beg me to stop or until you come. So don't fight it, just...
I come. I moan. A little too loudly, but it makes Brick happy, so I don't care. He laughs in my ear as I pant through my orgasm.
Please, he says, fisting my hair and pulling my head back so I have to look him in the eyes. Sign that contract tonight, so we can fuck you hard next week.
Chapter 10. Quinn. Only a few people know about the view from this top-floor apartment located inside the Turning Point Club, and I count myself lucky to be among them. Before me is most of downtown. The Capitol building is the main focus. The gold dome is lit up at night, and even on nights like this, when it's semi-obstructed by a steady stream of falling snow, it's breathtaking. The patio doors open behind me. Hey, Smith says. His dress shoes make a soft padding sound through the snow covering the wet concrete. You ready for this? Are they on their way up now? No, Smith says. I left them at the party, maybe an hour. He's silent for as long as he can manage while I think. You up for it or not, Quinn? There's no point going through the whole fucking song and dance if we're just gonna get to the end and have you say no. You want her, I say, tired of this conversation. I wouldn't call that news. Obviously, I've never been into the whole selection process. But this one's different. She's better than Rochelle, Quinn, I'm telling you right now. Whatever Rochelle was to you, this girl will be all that and more. I'm still thinking. I've done my best to put aside the why. I'm dealing with that. I can let it go. But I'm still missing something. I'm missing her. What did Brick do with all her stuff? I ask, looking over at Smith. Throw it out? Does it matter? I guess not. I turn back to the view of the Capitol. He donated the furniture, all the rest is in storage. I nod. My hands are freezing, I should have worn gloves, but it was nice of Brick to keep her things. It constitutes a collection. Memories and trinkets gathered up over a period of 3 years. Are you coming inside or what? Smith asks. I'm getting wet, your hair is soaked. I'll be in soon, I say back. But I don't follow him. I have no idea how much time passes out there on the snow-covered terrace. I just know the night gets markedly darker for me. There's no moon, it's covered by the snow clouds. And even though all the tall buildings of Denver are lit up at night, it's not enough to take away the feeling of despair. Where the fuck did you go? I ask the city.
If I had an answer for you, I swear I would tell you.
So she's here. I don't turn, just keep my vigil. But I can't help but notice her bare hands as she places them on the railing. They sink down into the snow at least 2 inches. She doesn't have gloves on either, so I only imagine how badly she needs that railing to steady her right now.
I'm sorry, she says. What I did was wrong, and I'm sorry.
Did Brick tell you to say that? I ask, turning my head just enough to look at her out of the corner of my eye.
No. But Smith said you're the one who's going to make this decision.
They want you and I don't. I sum it up simply, and then I shrug. I'm over her. To my surprise, Marcella slips her hands around my arm, an attempt to warm them up and give me comfort at the same time.
You're not over her. And I don't care.
I mean, she corrects.
I don't mind. I do care. But it's not reasonable to expect you to just move on.
She leans into me then. A nice touch to the speech Brick probably hand-fed her on the way over here. I know they want you, so I'm not going to say no. I turn to walk back inside and put an end to the drama, but Marcella has hold of my arm, so I stop and look at her. She is covered in snowflakes.
I do want you happy, though,
she sighs, knowing she can't win tonight.
So I'm going to do my best. We can be friends, at least.
Friends, I say, my mouth turning down into an expression of confusion. Oh, I'm still gonna fuck the shit out of you, Marcella Walcott. Don't mistake my sadness for celibacy. You're mine from midnight Sunday to midnight Tuesday. I turn towards her, lean in, and whisper, and don't ever fucking forget what you are to me. Her eyes widen with a touch of fear. A whore. I pay a lot of fucking money to keep. I pull back and point to the door. Now get the fuck inside. You're getting wet. She doesn't comment back. Just walks carefully through the snow in her stupid high heels and does as she's told. When I get inside, Smith is leaning against the kitchen island and Brick is standing in front of the door, hands in his pockets, legs spread in a stance that tells me he's uneasy. The whole place is different now. All of Rochelle's things have been removed, just like Brick promised, and in place of all the things Rochelle meticulously hunted down and collected over the past 3 years is cold, modern, simple furniture that no one gives a fuck about unless they actually had to pay for it. Everything okay? Brick asks Marcella. I chance a look at her and find her pale. Quinn, Smith asks, are we going to continue or not? Why does it have to be my decision? I ask, suddenly pissed off they've put me in this position. Why not just take her yourself and leave me out of it? Come on, Quinn, Brick says with a hesitant smile. Where's the fun in that? I let out a long exhale. I don't give a shit. Okay? If she makes you happy, she makes me happy. How's that for an answer? At least it's one I can relate to, Smith says. And he's right. I don't think he ever liked Rochelle. And the fact that he stopped coming by on his days with her months ago was just the first clue. Something I didn't pay attention to until he told me about it. Marcella is standing between us. Surrounded. She says nothing. Yes, I say, walking towards the front door. Fine, I'm in. Let's go downstairs, I can't stand this place. Hold on, Brick says, grabbing my arm as I try to get past him. We need to show her around. I turn back to Marcella. This is the kitchen, I say, waving my hands at the newly repainted cabinets. They are stark white now, a blank slate just like always. The countertop is black marble and the island cabinets are dark gray. I think Smith was in charge of the contractors this time around. This is the living room. Gone are Rochelle's eclectic couches made of crushed velvet. Gone are the drapes. Gone is Smith's old chair in front of the window, and in its place is Smith's new chair in front of the window. The couch is white, like the cabinets, made of leather, and there are two black and white striped pillows propped up against each arm. Smith's new chair is nothing but a curved chrome frame with a black leather seat and back. It looks like it's suspended in midair. The guest bathroom is there, I say, pointing to a door in the short hallway. But you're not allowed to have guests, and the bedroom is in there with the master bath and closets. I don't bother going in there. I saw it earlier. We have a closet, I call out after Brick, who escorts Marcella into the bedroom to check it out. And you have a closet. Smith has stayed behind with me.
Don't be a dick to her.
Why not? I ask. She fucked my whole world over.
She didn't do anything.
Rochelle fucked your world over. Same thing, I say. Look, Smith says. If you're going to be an asshole, then you need to say no. Brick and I will find someone else. I know he's serious. They will. And they will never say a word about it to me ever again. But it's not her, Quinn. It's not really Marcella who's pissing you off tonight. It's Rochelle. And if you say no tonight, chances are you'll say no to the next one, and that's fine. But then what we have will be over. And do you really want to throw us all away just because one girl fucked with your head? I don't say anything. Just listen to the soft voices of Brick and Marcella in the bedroom. I think he's giving her a pep talk, just like the one I'm getting from Smith. You know what you are, Smith says. What you like, what you get out of this. And we've got something good here. If you walk out, you'll just have to find it again with someone else. He's right again, of course. I already said yes, I say. My answer is yes. I head to the door again. No Brick to stop me this time. And go out into the hallway where the elevator is waiting to take me down to Smith's little room off the lobby. I don't wait, just enter, push the button, and let the doors close behind me. When I get off, the lobby down below is busy, but not crowded. The restaurant is always booked. You have to make a reservation 2 months in advance to get a public table at Turning Point Club. But it's Friday night, so we have no public tables. Only members are allowed in the building on the weekends. A few people catch my gaze, but I ignore their nods of greeting and head right into Smith's bar. The bartender comes over with a bottle of scotch and pours. By the time he's done, Brick and Smith are getting off the elevator with Marcella. Brick is glaring at me as they approach the table. I'm going to hear an earful later, but he won't pick a fight in front of the new girl. Brick holds out her chair and she sits directly across from me. Brick sits next to her and Smith is on my right. Okay, Smith says, producing an envelope from his suit coat pocket. Here are the details, Chella. He takes the contract out of the envelope and flattens the pages down on the table, then pushes it towards her with one finger. We each get you 2 nights a week. Brick starts. Quinn gets Monday and Tuesday, I get Wednesday and Thursday, and Smith gets Friday and Saturday. Your free day is Sunday. You will stay here in your new apartment. Wait, Marcella says. I have a house. I can't live at my house? What part of we own you don't you get? Smith asks. I'm surprised he's so rough with her after all that bullshit he was talking upstairs. Marcella, however, does not seem taken aback.
I'm just trying to clarify things, Smith.
The way she snarls his name almost makes me smile. We like you here, Chella, Brick explains, tapping on the table. So you will stay here. On Sunday, you can do anything you want, but on our days, we call the shots.
What do I get out of this?
Marcella asks. Smith laughs.
Besides sex.
She glares at him.
I get that part, thanks. Because although I'm sure you all have golden cocks that can bring virgins to orgasm without foreplay, I'm not sure it's enough compensation for being bossed around and treated like shit.
This time I'm the one who laughs. Pretty loud, too. Burn, I say, unable to hide my delight.
You get, Brick continues, shooting me a look that says shut the fuck up, your dream fulfilled. My dream? Marcella asks, confused. What does that mean? I think you guys are all hot and I'm really okay with the sex part, but my dream? You're not my dream.
Of course we're not your dream, Chella, Brick explains. You hardly know us. But you do have a dream, right? She's still got a confused look on her face. Oh my God, Smith says, his patience wearing thin. A dream. Money, new house, new job, or opportunities, or stupid shit you just don't want to spend your own money on like a puppy, and a trip to the Arctic to see the Northern Lights. Your dream, Smith says. I don't understand how this is confusing. Everyone has a dream.
I see you've given this a lot of thought, Smith. Is that your dream? A puppy and a trip to the Arctic.
Or, Brick says, trying his best to control things. But I have to give Marcella props for turning what is supposed to be a tightly controlled meeting run by Brick into a circus. Something more meaningful. A gallery of your own, for instance. Marcella says. What? Smith asks. His arms are stretched out on the table in front of him, palms open as he leans forward, like he's about at the end of his line.
I already have all those things. Not the gallery, but I don't want a gallery of my own.
Smith sits back in his chair, snapping to attention. He looks at Brick, I look at Brick, Brick looks back at both of us.
Then why are you doing this? I ask.
It's Marcella's turn to straighten her back. She bristles at the question and does not answer it.
You don't have to decide what you want right now, Cella, Brick says. Whatever it is between the three of us, we can manage. Think about it. I'm sure there's something you want, something you've always wanted but never had. Sometimes you need more than money to buy happiness.
The next rule, Smith says, taking over, he points to the contract on the table, is the most important because it spells out your purpose in one very simple sentence. You exist to play the game of taking turns with us, and you agree to try your best to make us happy in all ways, at all times. Marcella looks up and swallows.
It's not as ominous as it sounds, Brick says. We've been in this arrangement for over a decade, Cella. We're not looking to hurt you or make you miserable.
She clears her throat.
Understood.
Her gaze lands on me.
But what if I don't make you happy? What if I fail?
Brick puts an arm around her shoulder and smiles. He leans in and kisses her while his other hand reaches for her breast, pinches her nipple. Her mouth opens for his. Their tongues intertwine. I don't see it, but I know her hand is on his cock already. No encouragement necessary. When I look over at Smith, he's transfixed, unable to stop staring. His hand is on his cock, too. God, they really want her. I don't recall ever seeing them so interested. The meeting we had with Rochelle didn't go anything like this. Brick pulls out of the kiss and smiles at Marcella. You're already making us happy. It's going to be easy. But again, her wary gaze lands on me.
I don't think I'll make Quinn happy.
I get a sharp look from Brick, and even though I don't turn to see if Smith is giving me that same snarl, I know he is.
She's overreacting,
I say with a sigh. I'm fine. It will be fine. You said yes, Brick replies. So it better be fine, Quinn. The rest of it is just messy details, Cella. Are you on birth control? I, for one, do not like children, so I'm not interested in that at all.
I am, she says softly. And I've just had a checkup last week, and I'm clean.
She's clean. I have so much to say about that little remark. Like, she got herself tested last week? Smith shifts the papers on the table, revealing our own health records. This is all you need to know about us. He ignores her remark, as does Brick. How badly they must want her to just gloss over all these warning bells. Are we done now? I ask.
Is that it?
Marcella asks, leaning in to get a better look at the contract. Except for the payout, Brick says. But that's all about the dream. When you get an idea of what you'd like, you come tell me, Marcella. We'll make it happen. And then he holds her chin as he kisses her on the lips one more time, whispering,
sign the contract,
into her mouth. Smith pushes a pen in her direction, but she ignores him until Brick is done owning her lips. Her hands are shaking when she picks up the pen. And I don't know what her signature normally looks like, but when she signs and pushes the contract across the table at me so I can sign next, it's almost illegible from her unsteady hand. I sign and pass it to Smith. He signs and pushes it across the table to Brick. Brick looks at us both like he just hit the bullseye and won the biggest prize at the carnival. He signs his name as a big dramatic swoosh and then folds the contract up, tucks it back into the envelope, and slides it into his suit coat pocket. Great, Smith says, pushing back from the table, his chair making a loud, scraping sound. Then let's get started, Marcella. It's Friday, so looks like I get to break you in first. Marcella Walcott goes completely pale. The reality of what's happening hits her, and she puts both hands up like she needs to ward off Smith. Tonight? She's breathing hard.
Not tonight. I'm not staying here tonight. I don't have any of my things. There's nothing of mine in that apartment. I need time to adjust. Next weekend, can we start?
No, Brick says. He's not loud, but he's got a way of commanding people into shutting up. Marcella shuts up. You're going with Smith, Cella.
He's right. It's Friday, and your part in this game is to make him happy. I don't...
Hey, Smith says, his word coming out light and easy, interrupting her. I'll take you home tonight if you want. I'm okay with that. No big deal, right? Relax, Cella. Like Brick said, we're not out to hurt you or make you miserable. He walks around behind Brick and then pulls Marcella's chair out. She gets up on instinct, like she knows just what to do when a man pulls out a chair. Smith latches onto her arm and leads her away, leaning into her ear to say, I'll take you home. Just calm down. Marcella looks over her shoulder as she stumbles towards the stairs. The look is really a plea for help from Brick. But Brick knows he's got no power tonight. His power comes later next week. So he shuns her, lets her go. Tonight, she belongs to Smith. I hold my glass up to her as she's led down the stairs. Cheers, Marcella Walcott. Welcome to Turning Point Club. Let's just see how long you last.
Chapter 11. Smith. Marcella's reluctant, but I don't care. I have one goal, one focus, one way to end this night. And all of that revolves around her. She gets in the car when I open the door and then I say, scoot over, before sliding in and placing my hand on her leg. She draws in a deep breath that I almost miss due to the soft clunk of the driver closing the door. Are you afraid yet? No, she says, not looking at me. Looking at everything else but me. The back seat, which she already knows because this is the same car I sent her home in last weekend. Out the window, where the Capitol building dominates the skyline. Her feet, her hands, my face. I smile. She swallows. One of these days, Marcella Walcott, I'm gonna get your story. I wouldn't hold my breath for that. She mumbles, turning away just as the driver gets back in. Why not? It's a secret. A long, deep inhalation of air. The car moves forward and I settle in. The drive over to her place is short, practically over by the time her shoulders relax. But maybe it's the thought of home that relaxes her. We pull up right in front of her townhouse and I'm out of the car, extending my hand. She takes it and I help her step out of that world and into this one. More silence as we walk up her front steps. She starts digging into the decorative clutch she's using as a purse for her keys, but I'm already unlocking the door. You have a key to my house? She snaps. What did you think I was doing on Monday? I practically laugh the words out. You left the gallery to break into my house? She is angry now. But I don't care. Better to get things out in the open as soon as possible. Why are you surprised? I shouldn't be, she says. Her jaw is clenching and her lips are pressed tightly together. Get inside, Cella. I'm fucking cold. She looks at the car as it pulls away and she understands. She knows what's happening, what she's got herself into. Or at least, she's telling herself that. She's busy rationalizing this as some sex experiment. Something she'll walk away from in a few weeks, probably. Something dirty, yes, but very, very temporary. She will have her fun, we will have our fun, and then she will get out. So she thinks. I grab her arm when she refuses to move and push her across the threshold, dropping my new set of keys into a tray on the side table and locking the door behind us. I turn to the alarm panel on the wall and arm it. You have the code to my alarm? How? I just smile as I take off my coat and hang it in the coat closet. Did you really think I wouldn't? Small chuckle from me. Fool me once, Marcella. You locked me in that first night. I wasn't expecting it. My research shows you almost never use the alarm. Which is stupid, I add. This neighborhood looks nice. It's got streets lined with multi-million-dollar houses. But it's fucking downtown Denver, Cella. I thought you were smart. I leave her standing there in the foyer as I make my way through the front room, past the coffer-paneled fireplace that separates the front room from the dining room, and then into the large kitchen that shares a space with a nicely appointed family room. The small, slow clicking of high heels follows me as I reach into the fridge and take out a bottle of 1995 Clos d'Ambonnay. We should celebrate, I say, taking the champagne to the island where I have two tall fluted glasses ready. Why are you still wearing your coat? What's happening? She asks. What do you mean? I ask, popping the cork on the champagne. You just signed a contract. Yeah, she says, her voice a little louder as she recovers from her shock. But you didn't know that. You got my key 5 days ago, so why the fuck don't? I say in a loud, firm voice as I put up a hand. You don't talk to me that way. Understand? She exhales, like she was holding her breath for a few seconds. You didn't know I was going to sign. I knew. And I was right, wasn't I? And if I didn't sign, then what? You'd still have my key, my alarm code? What if I wanted to— Oh, for fuck's sake, shut up, Marcella. You're ruining my night. She blinks at me. Twice. Okay, look, I say. I'll tell you what. I'll help you tonight. It's an adjustment. I get it. I step around the island and start unbuttoning her coat, but when I try to slip it off, it gets stuck because she's still holding her little clutch purse. I take it from her hand, place it on the counter, and take the coat to the front closet by the door. When I come back to the kitchen, she's sitting in a stool at the island, head in her hands. Why are you so moody? I ask. I'm starting to get annoyed with her. She lifts her head up and stares at me while I pour our drinks. What? I ask. Answer my questions. If I didn't sign, then what? You'd keep that key, wouldn't you? It doesn't matter, Cella. You did sign. Do you want out already? Because you can tell me to fuck off and I'll be happy to fuck off. We stare at each other for a few seconds, maybe 10 or more. She is silent. I hand her a glass and she takes it. See? I say. It's not so hard. What should we drink to? She looks at her champagne, just staring at the bubbles in the light amber liquid. She takes a deep breath and says, I'm going to give it a week. Why? I ask. So I can see if this is something. No, I laugh. Why not get out now and be honest for once, Cella? You're such a bad liar. I come around the island to her again, place my hand flat on her knee, slip it under her dress and press my fingers against her pussy. Her gaze slowly lifts up to mine. Just say it, I whisper, because I get it. You're turned on, Cella. I slide my fingers into her, making the wetness pool around my skin. It's erotic, right? The thought of the three of us sharing you? She swallows hard, but she nods her head. My eyes search her eyes. I watch her breasts lift and fall as her heart rate picks up. It's okay. If we didn't think you'd be into it, we'd never have asked you in the first place. Whose idea was it? She asks. Yours? Or Brick's? Why not Quinn's? Ha, she laughs. He hates me. He He doesn't have to like you to want to fuck you. Was it you or Brick? She repeats. Does it matter? It matters, she says, because I'd like to know who's on my side and who's just here for the game. I press my fingers deeper into her pussy and she closes her eyes for a moment, unable to stop herself. I move close, erase the space between us until her knee bumps up against my hard cock. We're all here for the game. It's just a peek, Marcella. A little glimpse into the forbidden. Just some filthy, taboo sex and nothing more. Don't read too much into it. But don't take it for granted, either. We can vote you out if we get tired. She gives in. Her shoulders slump and the tight line of her mouth drops into a frown. Don't worry so much, I say, taking her hand and placing it on my cock. She squeezes without any more urging from me. A few seconds later, she's stroking me through my pants. It's just fun. It's not a life commitment. We're not holding you hostage, and if it makes you feel better, if you had said no, I'd have given you your key and new alarm code back at Turning Point Club. I'm not about to fuck up my life over a woman. She looks up at that, still frowning. Do you want out? I ask. Do you want my key back? She shakes her head no, but she is still frowning. Good, I say, leaning in to kiss her lips. Then let the games begin. I hold up my glass and say, make a toast. She looks away, maybe thinking of something to say, and then she raises her glass and looks me in the eyes. To the peak, she says, a long inhale of breath to steady herself. Because that's all it is. Just a peek. To the peak, I say. We drink, but I catch a small whisper just as she brings the champagne to her lips. I just hope I don't get lost in this peak. You're gonna, I say, setting my glass down and taking my attention back to her pussy. That's how we keep them, Cella. We feed the craving, turn it into an addiction, and then we own you. We will own you. There's no telling how long it will take for you to kick the habit of us, but after this week, you'll be in too deep to walk away. You'll need your fix. You'll see what I bring to this little arrangement. You'll want Brick to do things to you that will make you feel shame. You'll fall for Quinn and his contagious personality. She laughs and breaks a smile. I don't think so. You don't know him yet. I know him very well, and I know he'll be the first one you fall in love with. Come on, she says. That's never going to happen. I know what this looks like, but it's not what it looks like. Liar, I say. You're hanging in midair right now, and what happens next is just gravity. I kiss her again. She responds with her tongue. We linger in the kiss as I insert another finger into her pussy and my thumb finds her clit. She's moaning when the angel on my shoulder surfaces. Just for a moment. So I do my good deed for the day. I warn her with a whisper into her mouth. Just don't fall too hard, Marcella Walcott, because that's exactly when we'll cut you off.
Chapter 12. Cella. I don't know what to feel. I am angry because he made a copy of my key. He changed my alarm code. I'm angry at myself, too, for being weak, for giving in to them, for putting my weakness in writing for anyone to see. Because they know me. They understand why girls like me will agree to do the things they want. And I hate it. I am filled with shame for what I am. A sick, sick woman with a sick, sick fetish. I am obsessed with sex, and everyone will know. I sigh. Everyone will know. How long did it take Brick and Smith to see through me? Minutes? In that closet the first night? The next night when Brick came to see me? Is this why my family life fell apart so badly? Why I have no one? I know it is. But I don't care. They're right. I'm addicted to the dark. I want what they're offering, and I don't care. I kiss Smith back. I want more of him, even as I feel the repulsion inside me. Chella, Smith says, trying to get my attention, like he knows what I'm thinking. And even that pisses me off. Why does he get to see through me? After all this time, after all the walls I've put up, after all the years of denial and self-deprivation, why now, when I have it well under control? Why now? I know why. Rochelle came to me. She slipped inside my life, became my friend. She saw through me immediately, didn't she? Just like Smith. That book. Chella, Smith repeats. He pulls out of the kiss and backs away one step. Two. What's wrong? I ask, my words coming out in ragged gasps. Smith smiles down at me, places both hands flat against both my cheeks.
The toast is over, love.
I look at the two glasses of champagne, still full and sitting on the counter. What?
I'm glad you're here, Smith says, stroking my cheek.
He's got the other hand on his cock, a thick outline beneath his trousers. I place my hand over his, and then we switch places, his strong hand on mine, urging me once again to stroke him.
But I have a lot of rules.
I'm watching our hands, the way he guides me to move the way he likes it. I memorize that movement so I can do it again later without his help.
Look at me, he says.
I do. I look up.
Unzip my pants and take out my cock and my balls.
I nod at him. Say, yes, okay. And do just as he asks.
Make me come.
I keep eye contact as I cup his balls with one hand and stroke him with the other. Long strokes. Slow, then faster. I want to get down on my knees and put him in my mouth. But he's got a hold on my hair. A hold so tight, it's pulling on my scalp. So I just open my mouth and lock my eyes with his as I keep going. The smile he gives me might be worth all his bullshit. He has a dimple in one cheek that I've never seen before. Maybe because I've never seen a real smile from him.
Do you want to know my rules, Chella?
Yes, I say in a throaty whisper. Tell me the rules. I can follow them, I promise. He lets go of my hair and pets my head.
I'm happy to hear that. Now open your legs wide and give me full access.
I comply, willingly, immediately, and then his hand slides back up under my dress and his fingers begin to play. I close my eyes and drop my head back a little, allowing myself to enjoy it.
Does it feel good?
I manage. He flattens his hand and begins to rub his fingertips across my clit in short, quick bursts. I'm on edge. I'm so close. I stroke him harder, wanting him to come with me when I can't stand it any longer. He's moaning. I'm moaning. And then he steps away. His fingers pull out of my throbbing, wet pussy. My hand slips off his huge, fat cock. What are you doing? I ask. We're so close. He pets my head again while his other hand tucks his cock away and zips up his pants.
I know, Chella, but the rules, love. I'm sorry, but the rules of taking turns say I'm not allowed to fuck you. I'm not allowed to make you come. You're not allowed to make me come.
What? I ask. What the fuck are you talking about? He laughs.
I'll excuse that slip in language because I kinda set you up there.
Smith. I breathe in short, quick pants. What the hell?
I'm sorry, he says. I can't talk about the other rules. I can only tell you mine. And rule number one of our relationship is no fucking, and that also includes no touching.
That makes no sense, I blurt.
It does, love.
He pets my hair again like I am a lost, sad dog, a very sick, lost, and sad dog.
You'll see that it does. Now, be a good girl and go get ready for bed. It's late now,
We're having an early breakfast with Quinn and Brick so I can give them a report on how tonight went. And you have work after that. So go on, go upstairs and take a shower. I am speechless. Chella, Smith says, raising his voice. I just told you to do something. When I give an order, you will acknowledge me and then carry it out. I just stare at him. Where are these rules? I demand. Were they in the contract? The contract stated your role was to make us happy, and these rules make us happy. End of discussion. Go upstairs and get in the shower. I let out a long, disgusted sigh, stand up, and walk away before I slap his fucking face. It's a game, it's a game, it's a game. I run his words back in my head as I climb the stairs. The rules of taking turns say I'm not allowed to fuck you. Or touch me. He said that too. What's that mean? He can't make me come? I can't make him come? Which means we masturbate a lot and then we leave each other hanging? That rule is fucking stupid, I yell.
Last time, Chella, he yells back from below. Last time I'll let you get away with talking back, so be ready if you choose to do it again.
Fuck you, I say, but I say it quietly. When I get to the bedroom, there's lingerie laid out on my bed. Just a soft pink chemise. The bust is made of lace, and it has a flirty skirt that drapes down to just above my hips. There's also matching panties, same color. I hold it up and look at it. Kinda sweet. Not what I expected from this freak, that's for sure.
Why aren't you in the shower? Smith asks.
He's standing in the doorway, and I take a moment to appreciate him. He's fucking handsome. Tall, with those broad shoulders. I can't see the muscles in his upper arms or back, but I know they're there. He has a shadow of stubble across his perfectly square jaw that wasn't there earlier in the day. I watch him watch me.
I asked you a question, he says.
I look back at the lingerie in my hands. I was looking at it.
You don't get an opinion, he says, so you don't need to look so hard.
Can we talk about these rules? I ask.
No.
Then how will I know what to expect?
We'll let you know.
Don't you think that sets me up for failure?
The failure is half the fun, Chella. Now get your ass in the goddamned shower.
What will you do if I don't obey you? Smith smiles, a crooked, devious, devilish smile.
I'll have Brick handle it. You can't get your way with me by ignoring my rules.
And what will Brick do? I'm genuinely curious. I'm not even trying to piss him off.
You'll have that discussion with him, should you ever find yourself in that position.
I put the lingerie back on the bed and go into the closet to undress. Smith follows me, cocks a hip against the door jamb and watches my every move. I slip the dress down, and his eyes follow it to the floor. That's pretty much all I'm wearing, so I place both hands on his chest as I try to maneuver past, through the door, but he slaps them away.
Don't fucking touch me again, Chella. I'm very serious about this.
I let it go. I am tired, I realize. Tired of this game. Tired of this day. And I need that hot shower more than he knows. I start the water, and when I look over my shoulder, he's there again, watching, silent, arms crossed over his chest, frown on his face. Am I not making you happy?
Not even a little bit. He growls.
I let that go, too. Maybe when we have breakfast tomorrow, he will tell Brick and Quinn I'm not worth it. I can't make them happy, and maybe they will cut me loose. If that happens, will I fight it, or will I let it go, walk out and never look back? I wish I didn't know the answer. I wish the answer was walk out, be strong, leave this darkness behind before it's too late. But I won't. If they decide I'm not their type or not good enough for whatever reason, I will fight it. I will prove it to them.
Chella, Smith snaps. Stop daydreaming and get in the shower.
I step into the shower and get my hair wet. The heat feels so good. But when I open my eyes, Smith is dropping his pants just outside the glass door.
What are you doing now?
He takes off his shirt, throws it on the floor, then opens the door and I step aside to let him pass.
What the fuck does it look like?
I thought we can't touch.
I won't be touching you. You've got a big shower.
Whatever. I give up. We trade places. I rinse my hair and apply conditioner as he soaps up his body. And even though I tell myself I'm not interested in those shoulders or those arms or that fat fucking cock of his, which is so hard it's climbing up his stomach, I am. I can't stop watching him. I think he feels the same way about me. His eyes linger on the thick, frothy bubbles as they fall over my breasts. He stares at my shaved pussy like he wants me. If he wants me, why does he allow Brick and Quinn to dictate his behavior with me?
Are you done with the water? He asks.
I have two shower heads, I say, pointing to the one that's not in use.
I can see that.
Go ahead, I sigh, stepping aside as I go looking for my razor. I put my foot up on the stone bench in the corner and apply shaving gel to my leg. But before I can start shaving, Smith takes the razor. What are you doing?
I'll do it.
But you can't...
I'm not touching you, Chella. The razor is.
Clarity ensues, and I smile.
Don't get excited, he says, smiling back.
A big enough smile to make that dimple appear.
I take the rules pretty seriously.
I press my lips together to stop the grin. Mm-hmm. He shaves my leg so carefully I want to die. He crouches down so his cock is hanging between his legs. Those shoulders are right in front of me, begging for my attention. I want to touch him so bad, but I stop myself. I'm enjoying his attention too much to fuck it up. And he is paying very close attention to my leg. It's not even like there is much stubble because I just shaved 2 days ago. But he is careful and deliberate as he drags the razor down every curve of my calf. When he's done, he looks up at me and says, "Next." I repeat the process with the gel, and I have to bite my lip to stop imagining how good it would feel if he'd do this part too.
"It's supposed to be fun, Chella," he says, still working.
This is fun. He looks up and smiles.
We have these rules for a reason. They heighten the pleasure, everyone's pleasure. You'll have a better time if you give in, I promise.
I believe him, because it's already working, but I still have questions. So, you're never going to fuck me?
What did I say about that word?
What? It wasn't an adjective, it's a verb, to fuck. He scowls. You're never going to have sex with me, I amend.
I didn't say never, I just said for now.
But when Quinn comes on Sunday night, or Monday, if he's not that into me and I can't stand the thought of that extra time, then he can have sex with me? What's his rule?
You'll talk it out with him.
Smith looks up at me and then stands up, his task complete far too soon.
Don't confuse us, Chella. We're very different people. We want very different things out of this game. But we all like to win, even you, I'm sure.
What is winning? I ask. The look on his face takes me by surprise.
Happiness, of course.
And not touching me makes you happy?
Did you like what I just did?
He sets the razor down on the bench. Yes, I say. But I'd like it more if your hands were touching me.
Maybe one day.